Micro Language Lab, Learning the 6809, is a presentation of Green Mountain Micro.
Hello again. I hope you've been successful in your hand assembly of the remainder of the program. Here's a summary of what you should have found. STA, which is the last one we left off on, indexed mode is A7. So you should have written A7 next to address 3F21. The operand is that zero offset indexed auto increment Y register, and it's the same as before. So across from address 3F22, you should have found A0. The following instruction is the same, A7, A0. Finally, you had a store B at Y register auto increment, and that came around again, and you should have that down as E7, A0. At this point, you're up to address 3F27, and using the table on page 33, the next instruction should have been straightforward. Load A, zero offset, indexed X, auto increment. And the opcode was A6. Now, for a refresher, glance at the chart on page 33. This is still auto increment indexed, which is the second line of the table. The register is X, meaning the value for RR to plug into place is 00. So if you plug 00 into the blank space in the binary byte, it becomes 1000000. And that was hex 80, and that should have been your operand. So next to address 3F28, you should have 80. Now, you should also have noted at this point the label B loop would have been at address 3F27, because you've got to get back there later on. The rest of it should have been really straightforward. Nothing new at all, just tedious hand assembly byte by byte. The next instruction was JSR, jump to subroutine, hex code BD at address 3F29. And naturally the next two addresses at 3F2A and 3F2B will be blank, because you still don't know where the subroutine will be. Store B indexed to Y auto increments next, and you can steal that information directly from earlier. Store B is E7, and auto increment 0 offset index Y is A0, so you should have E7, A0 across from addresses 3F2C and 3F2D. The decrement instruction was next, and you should find that on page 30. This is a decrement of a direct page memory location you're dealing with, and you can find that in the column under direct, and that's opcode 0A. So next to 3F2E, you would have opcode 0A. The location to decrement is 00, so that's your operand. So you've got 00 next to address 3F2F. Now finally, there's a branch instruction. Branch on not equal can be found on page 32. Now, you probably found the table at the bottom right labeled Simple Conditional Branches. Now, under false, the second mnemonic down is BNE, or branch on not equal. The opcode shown is 26. So next to address 3F30, I hope you have 26. At this point in the program counter is pointing to the next instruction in line. Remember, I've said a few times in a few different lessons, the program counter is always positioned at the next instruction from the one currently being executed. And that means the program counter is pointing to address 3F32. You locate your label B loop, and this is where the branch from the program's current position is going. So if 3F32 is relative position 00, count backwards to the address B loop, which is 3F27. FF, FE, FD, FC, FB, FA, F9, F8, F7, F6, F5. F5 is the position of B loop relative to the program counter. That makes F5 your operand for the relative branch BNE, branch on not equal. Next to address 3F31, then, you should have F5. So the complete instruction branch on not equal to B loop is hand assembled to 26F5. decrement direct page you already used, that's opcode 0A, and the direct page is 00, and the least significant byte is 01, so that's your operand, 01. So you should have next to addresses 3F32 and 3F33, opcode 0A, operand 01. Another relative branch follows, another branch not equal, as a matter of fact, opcode 26. So you have 26 written down next to 3F34. Now again comes the counting backwards from the program counter, which is pointing now to 3F36, the next instruction. You've got to get all the way back to L loop at address 3F0D. If you subtract it instead of counting backwards, you'll get the value D7. So I won't put you through the counting backwards stuff this time. Just write your relative branch operand D7 at address 3F35. So the complete instruction branch not equal back to that label is 26D7. All that remains of the main program now is the return from subroutine, and on page 31 you should have found the opcode 39. So next to address 3F36 you should have 39, and that completes the main program. Only the subroutines themselves are left. The subroutine byte bit, that's just a label, remember, just in case you've forgotten, the subroutine byte bit begins at 3F37, meaning your three blank operands earlier in the program were filled with that address, 3F37. The first action of the subroutine was to push the A accumulator on the stack. 34 is the opcode, and using the push-pull order chart, you found that 02 is the operand. We've done push and pull hand assembly earlier, so the 02 operand should have been your discovery. Four logical shift right A accumulator commands followed, and each of these is clearly shown in the chart as 44. So the next four addresses should each contain 44. Two more subroutine calls follow, BD being the opcode for jump to subroutine. The addresses, which you had to calculate on your second assembly pass, are respectively discovered as 3F4E and 3F58, so you should have those two addresses calculated in place. Pull accumulator is 3502, the operand calculated in the same manner as the push command, and A immediate with 0F is represented by the AND immediate command 84 and the operand 0F. So 840F are your next commands. A familiar pair of subroutine calls follows. That's JSR 3F4E, BD 3F4E, and BD 3F58. And the convert and display subroutine finishes with the return from subroutine hex 39. The short convert subroutine compares A immediate with 0A. That's 810A. It branches on carry clear to the label letter, and you calculated that relative branch to be 03, I'm trusting, giving an instruction of 2403. Add A immediate with 30 is 8B30, and return from subroutine is again 39. The label letter, add A immediate with 37 is 8B37, followed by a return from subroutine 39. So you've got a whole subroutine complete there. Finally, the short display and update routine is made up of a store A accumulator to Y and an auto increment. So that pattern is familiar enough, and you could copy the information almost directly from an early point in the program. A7, that's the opcode for store A indexed, and A0, which is the specific operand for this operation. And at last, the final return from subroutine, again, hex 39. Your program should run from addresses 3F00 to 3F5A, a total of 91 bytes. Look in your documentation and see if your hand-assembled hexadecimal code agrees with mine. It's time to get it running, so you can check that, and I've got a batch of hexadecimal code prepared for you as a series of basic data statements. So you check that now, and we'll get to this series of data statements.
Find program number 18 in the book and follow the instructions. This is a basic program. Turn this tape off until you are ready to load the program. Turn the tape off now. You should have loaded a basic program. Briefly list this program to see if it appears correct. If so, please continue with this tape. Otherwise, rewind to the program and try again.
So there it is, a reasonably painful first-hand assembly resolved into a mere 12 lines of basic data statements, poked in place and used as a subroutine via BASIC's user command. In this test program, the address transferred for display from BASIC is 3F00. So actually, you can look at the machine language program itself that's displaying itself. Well, the question is, will it work? And the answer is, no, it won't. Actually, that is, it won't run exactly as you expect. Run the program. Well, you are looking at your own hand assembly, but something's amiss. The letters are okay, but the numbers are shown in reverse video. A peculiarity like this is one of my reasons for preparing these lessons with the color computer in mind. If you've been using the color computer for a while, you know that uppercase characters plus numbers and symbols are presented normally, but lowercase characters are represented by reverse video. What you're running into here is the video display generator, the VDG. There's a software shuffle done by BASIC to accept your ASCII information and translate it into VDG codes. The video display generator contains only 64 letters, numbers, and symbols, all standard uppercase characters. No lowercase or control characters were included in the design and manufacture of this part. So to display any character in the set, only bits 0 through 5 in a byte are used. However, bits 6 and 7 are connected to the VDG. Bit 7 turns on the low-resolution color graphics, which BASIC calls character string 128 through character string 155. You've seen them. They're also called the semi-graphics, and their hexadecimal values are 80 through FF. Bit 6 is the tricky one. Bit 6 is used to turn on the inverse video mode for alphanumeric characters. When bit 6 is a 1, normal characters are seen. When bit 6 is a 0, reverse characters are displayed. Think back to my example of poking versus printing the screen way back in the first session. Printing the characters resulted in their appearance in normal ASCII order. Control characters from 00 to 1F were not displayed. 20 through 3F were numbers and symbols. 40 through 5F was uppercase, and 60 through 7F presented reverse video style lowercase. That was all normal and as you'd expect, but poking the values to the screen resulted in something different. Values 00 through 1F revealed reverse video style lowercase. 20 through 3F displayed a not before seen group of reverse video numbers and symbols. 40 through 5F showed the uppercase characters in their proper ASCII positions, and 60 through 7F displayed the normal set of numbers and symbols. The reasons should begin to come clear. If bit 7 is 0, then alphanumerics are displayed instead of graphics. If bit 6 is 0, all characters are displayed in reverse video mode. In other words, the hardware of the color computer understands that all characters from 0000, 0000 to 0011, 1111, that is, from hex 00 to 3F, are reverse characters. Conversely, if bit 6 is 1, all characters are displayed in normal video mode. The color computer hardware then understands that all characters from 01000000 to 01111, that is, from hex 40 to 7F, are normal characters. The BASIC language works with ASCII, so this hardware business is a pain. BASIC is forced to translate ASCII to hardware and hardware to ASCII every time it does a screen display. So whenever you write software in machine language, you will also have to provide some sort of translation. In normal display, such as BASIC, hardware values 20 to 3F are not used. These are the reverse numbers and symbols. The program you just created, in attempting to use legitimate ASCII values, ended up using these hardware values for reverse characters, and that accounts for the strange screen display. Now I've given you enough information to get out of that dilemma. Turn back to your hand-assembled listing and locate the spots where a display character is established. You'll find address 3F1C is supposed to be a star, a hex 2A. That's the normal ASCII value. Glance at your documentation where the summary I just gave you is printed. If you want to display 2A, then, you actually need to use the hardware value 6A. So put that in place. Type poke ampersand, that's the AND symbol, H, 3F1C, comma, ampersand H, 6A. Look at the book for help on this. Type poke ampersand H, 3F1C, comma, ampersand H, 6A. And hit enter. Now that should give you a proper star. Try it. Type go to 85 and hit enter. Now the stars are okay now, so the spaces are next. A space is hex 20, which means the hardware, as shown in the chart, requires a 60. In your hand assembly, you'll find that space at address 3F1E, so change it now. Type poke ampersand H 3F1E, comma, ampersand H60, and hit enter. That's poke ampersand H 3F1E, comma, ampersand H60. Enter. The spaces should be cleared up. Type go to 85 and hit enter. Only the reverse numbers remain to cure. This happened in the ASCII conversion subroutine that began at address 3F4E. Find that subroutine in your list. At address 3F52, an offset of 30 was added to convert from the number 0 through 9 to ASCII characters 0 through 9 for printing. Hex values for these are 30 through 39, meaning the hardware, again looking at the chart, needs 70 through 79 to present the numbers correctly. So that means we have to change the offset. The offset address 3F53 has to be changed from a proper ASCII 30, what you'd normally use if you were writing a reasonable program on a reasonable machine, to the hardware's demand of 70. So do that. Poke ampersand H 3F53, comma, ampersand H70, and enter. That's poke ampersand H 3F53, comma, ampersand H70, enter. That should cure the numbers. Type go to 85 and hit enter. Well, that did it. The address and data display is complete. The video hardware shuffle is a little tricky, so if it's not clear to you at this point, please review from the start of this session. You can break now. Otherwise, I have a program for you to load.
Find program number 19 in the book. This is an EDTASM Plus program. Turn the computer off, insert the EDTASM Plus cartridge, and turn the computer back on. When the EDTASM Plus star prompt and cursor appear, you are ready to load the following program. Type L and hit Enter. When Ready Cassette is displayed, prepare to load this tape. The program follows now. You should have loaded an EdTASM Plus program. List the program using the P command and compare it with program number 19. If it does not appear correct, rewind the tape and try again.
Here's the complete program you just created. You have the entire mnemonic listing available, which the assembler can convert to machine language quickly. You'll assemble this, go right into BASIC, and load the next program on the tape. Here's how it goes. Type A/IM/AO. That's an O, not a zero. Type A/IM/AO and hit enter. The listing will scroll by and the program will be assembled at 3F00. The program will be in place. When the star prompt and cursor return, quit the editor assembler. Type Q and hit enter. In a few seconds, the extended color basic message will appear. You know the program is at 3F00, so protect memory. If you've never protected memory before, I'll tell you the purpose. It's to tell BASIC that a certain area of memory is off-limits. BASIC will make no attempt to use protected memory except through peek, poke, and CLOAD-M, that's CLOAD machine language, statements. You can refer to your BASIC manual for details. So, for the moment, type clear 200, %H3F00, and hit enter. I'll repeat that. Clear 200, %H3F00. Now you can load the next program.
Find program number 20 in the book and follow the instructions. This is a basic program. Turn this tape off until you are ready to load the program. Turn the tape off now. You should have loaded a basic program. Briefly list this program to see if it appears correct. If so, please continue with this tape. Otherwise, rewind to the program and try again.
If you list this program, you can see that it is simply a little basic input routine which subsequently calls your machine language subroutine. Since the value transferred is an integer, the range is -32768 to +32767. To get at addresses higher than 32767, that's hex 7FFF, nice even number, there has to be a conversion. Line 60 is a little trick that's good to know. So assuming the assembly went well, then your program should reside at 3F00 right now. Run the program. Enter any address from 0000 to FFFF. There's memory, 64 bytes of it. Play around with this program for a little bit and then come back to this tape for a summary.
Please examine a number of areas of memory using this basic program and return to this tape when you are finished. Turn this tape off now.
This course is halfway now. If you're a newcomer to assembly language, you're probably just a little overwhelmed. The jargon and the concepts do take some time to settle. On the other hand, if you're an experienced programmer here just to learn the specifics of the 6809, I know you want to get on with it. In either case, please stay with me for a summary of the main points from the past 12 sessions. Assembly language isn't BASIC, but forms a perfect companion to BASIC, as you've seen with the program so far. It's capable of easy access to functions not readily available via BASIC, such as reverse numbers and symbols, and is fast and flexible. From assembly language is built the language of BASIC itself. Assembly language represents computer instructions. Computer instructions are actually electronic signal patterns best represented by the binary number system. Binary numbers are difficult to recognize, so binary patterns are visually organized by using a single symbol for each group of 4 bits. This is the purpose of the hexadecimal numbering system 1 through 9 and A through F. Logical arrangements and patterns of binary digits were used in the creation of the American Standard Code for Information Interchange, ASCII. A processor can interpret binary patterns as either instructions or data. The instruction pattern is known as the opcode, and the data pattern is called the operand. All binary patterns in a program are found in memory, and it is only the order and context which differentiate opcodes from operands. Each processor has a unique design and purpose. This design and purpose is known as the processor's architecture. The architecture of the 6809 is particularly strong in the way that it accesses information. The architecture of the 6809 consists of a program counter, PC, two arithmetic accumulators, A and B, two index registers, X and Y, two stack pointers, S and U, a condition code register, CC, also called the flags, and a direct page register, DP. To manipulate these registers through a program, the binary code must be presented to the instruction decoder. Because binary and hexadecimal representations are machine-level instructions with little value for the human programmer, instruction names are used to ease the programming process. They are called mnemonics. A program written in mnemonics cannot be executed. Only the machine code the mnemonics represent can be executed. The process of translating mnemonics into machine code is called assembly. The program that permits editing mnemonic code, also called source code, is an editor. The program that translates this source code into machine code, also called object code, is an assembler. Usually, these are combined in a single program known as an editor-assembler. This series uses the program EdTASM Plus as its editor-assembler. A machine language program must access information. The way it finds this information in memory is called an addressing mode. There are several major addressing modes in the 6809 processor. Inherent addressing has the data implied as part of the opcode itself. Register addressing has the data available in one of the 6809 registers. Immediate addressing presents the data in the program memory immediately following the opcode. Extended addressing presents a complete 16-bit memory address at which the data can be found. Direct addressing presents an 8-bit address which is combined with a DP register to locate data in memory. Indexed addressing uses registers and offsets to calculate the address in memory at which data can be found. This mode is complex and flexible, with automatic incrementing and decrementing of registers as the instruction is executed. Relative addressing presents a value which directs the program to a position in memory relative to the current position of the program counter. Information is accessed by processor instructions. Among these are store and load, which save and retrieve information in memory. Arithmetic instructions such as add, subtract, decrement, increment, and negate. Logical instructions such as AND, OR, complement, and exclusive OR. Bit shift and rotation instructions. Jumps and branches to other program locations or subroutines. Programs and information are stored in memory. The organization of memory is called a memory map, which can contain read-write memory, read-only memory, special-purpose memory registers, and input-output ports. The color computer has a specific memory map and several hardware devices. Read-write memory, or RAM, is located in the bottom two quarters of the memory map. The basic language in read-only memory, or ROM, occupies the third quarter. Most of the upper quarter is occupied by cartridge ROM when it is plugged in. The top 256 bytes of memory have a special purpose and are used by peripheral interface adapters, the PIAs, as input-output ports for the keyboard, cassette, printer, video display, and other reserved purposes. In the color computer, most sophisticated of these functions is performed by the Synchronous Address Multiplexer, the SAM, which controls the memory circuitry, the processor speed, and the video display generator, the VDG. By using a combination of the PIAs and the SAM, the VDG can be placed into several modes of alphanumerics and low and high resolution color graphics, and can be made to display any area of memory. Machine language programs most easily control these devices. Machine language programs for control, display, or any type of programming can be assembled using a tool such as the editor assembler, or can be assembled by hand using a list of commands and their respective binary codes. Hand assembly is tedious but is valuable for learning to create compact and efficient programs and for understanding the specific actions taken by the processor. Confident hand assembly can reveal peculiarities in a computer, such as the alphanumeric display method in these color computers. So, that's a very fast trip through the past 12 sessions. I recommend that you take a breather now and review all of the lessons, because I plan to pick up the pace from here on. Things you must know to continue are how to use the MC6809E data booklet, how to enter and edit programs using EdTASM Plus, how to count in binary and hexadecimal, how to create basic programs which poke machine language information into memory. You also must know the 6809 instructions that have been presented so far, and all the addressing modes which I've explained. I won't have time to summarize all of this again, so if you think you need to, please review now. I can't emphasize enough the need to review, because I can tell you from experience that if you get into this too deeply and your background's just not secure, the new information will muddy the old information so badly that it all becomes entirely useless. Now that I've issued some dire warnings, I hope you'll continue with the series. I'll be presenting graphics and sound software soon and giving you pointers on making your programs short, programs be quick, and programs run bug-free. So review, please review, and I'll speak to you next time.